WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Our book critic Maureen Corrigan has been thinking about the role books play in challenging times, and she has some recommendations for books that are ready to report for duty.
There's a black and white photo taped on my office door at school, the office I haven't been inside in almost a month. It shows an American soldier stretched out, reading a book. He's reading A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, Betty Smith's 1943 novel based on her childhood in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Smith's novel, along with Moby Dick, The Adventures of Superman, and some 122 million copies of novels, essays, and poetry, were printed during World War II and distributed to servicemen. The largest distribution of these so-called armed services editions was on the eve of D-Day. Every man boarding a landing craft was handed a book. Even as an uncertain destiny awaited them, some of these guys, like our friend in that photo, found solace in reading. Books are essential cargo, I believe that. And I want to give a nod to the range of the Armed Services editions by recommending a variety of books, old and new, that appeal to me right now. When I need a mental escape from a stressful situation, I often fantasize about wandering around one of the grand department stores of my New York City childhood, stores like Bonwit Teller and B. Altman. Most of those palaces of consumption are gone, but fortunately, Scribner has recently published the first American edition of a tart, beguiling 1993 department store novel called The Women in Black by Madeline St. John. Set in the 1950s, it focuses on four saleswomen decked out in black uniform dresses who work at Goods Department Store in Sydney, Australia. My favorite character is a high school girl, a temporary worker named Lisa, who falls in love at first sight with a couture cocktail dress. A froth of red pin-spotted white organza with a low neck, a tight bodice, a few deep ruffles over the shoulders. Lisa was experiencing that sudden recognition that a particular frock is not merely pretty, would not merely suit one, but answers to one's deepest notions of one's self. On the cover of The Women in Black is a blurb by Hilary Mantel, who says that this is the book she most often gives as a gift to cheer people up. Do you really need to know anything more? This pandemic has so many of us thinking a lot about food, and when I think of good writing about food, I always think first of the immortal Lori Colwyn, who died in 1992. Colwyn's unpretentious essays about whipping up the likes of buttered noodles and savory beef stew are collected in two books called Home Cooking and More Home Cooking. There's a slim, sensuous new food memoir coming out this month called Everything is Under Control by Phyllis Grant. Grant has cooked in famous restaurants, but she started out training to be a dancer at Juilliard. When she arrived in the city as a teenager, Grant says she and the other would-be dancers made New York our cafeteria, inhaling white onion, cheddar, and tomato omelets with French fries in fluorescent diners. But soon enough, Grant describes how the demands of dance shamed her and her friends into denying their appetites. Reading about diners and thinking of all those restaurant workers across the country who've lost jobs makes me think of one of my favorite books of all time, Stuart Onan's 2007 novella, Last Night at the Lobster. In precise insider language, Onan writes about a manager named Manny and his staff working the last shifts at a Red Lobster restaurant that the higher-ups have decided to close. It's a great story in miniature about the loss of the casual community that workplaces create, a community that many of us are missing right now. We're into April, which means this is National Poetry Month. I owe this next recommendation to Maria Popova, whose eclectic Brain Pickings blog site spotlighted a Japanese poet named Misuzu Kaneko. A small publisher, Chin Music Press, has brought out a gorgeously illustrated edition of Misuzu's poetry and tragic life story aimed at children and adults, called Are You an Echo? Here's a simple poem called Snowpile that displays Misuzu's celebrated empathetic imagination. Snow on top must feel chilly, the cold moonlight piercing it. Snow on the bottom must feel burdened by the hundreds who tread on it. Snow in the middle must feel lonely, with neither earth nor sky to look at. I want to end where I began, in my beautiful, battered hometown of New York. Most of the great books about New York are books about walking, and that's certainly true of Colson Whitehead's packed personal travelogue, The Colossus of New York, which came out in 2003. Whitehead roams from the Port Authority to the Brooklyn Bridge to the once-dense streets of Midtown. If you're missing the feeling of being lost in a crowd, Whitehead, and really all these writers I've just recommended, offer you the next best thing, the possibility of getting lost in a book.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.